I want to share something tonight, which is, you know, the Lord has just brought me a couple of revelations on, and it's something that we've heard before, and sometimes we lose sight of the things, and it's called divine positioning. And you know, God gives us so much confirmation. You know, when I came in here tonight, and the Lord put on my heart to talk about divine positioning, and He began already to manifest testimonies about divine positioning. And divine positioning is one of the most important things as a child of God that we must attuned to. It's important. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And there was a place where there is the righteousness of Christ that begins to manifest in us. There's that place of surrender. There's that place of trust. There's that place where God brings us into a divine position where life begins to manifest in a great and mightier way, more than you could ever imagine. It's a wonderful place to be in. Jesus came into the world so that we could be in divine position. There is another side known as the side of the Spirit. The Bible says that the things you and I see are temporary, but the things that we don't see are eternal. Jesus was the true example of the divine position. Does everybody get it? It was perfect timing. It was a perfect place. It was everything was divine. By God. In other words, it was ordained by God, positioned by God, fulfilled by God, and manifested by God, not by man. Amen? And if you'll turn to John 14, hallelujah, in the book of John, praise be to God, divine position, glory. In John 14, in verse 1. Is everybody there? Oh. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This was Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus was speaking about his death was going to prepare a place for me and you. You know, we just look at this building, you know. We look at this building, you know, in heaven that we're just going to all be in a hotel room, like, you know. I mean, you know, we're such foolish flesh creatures sometimes, you know. We think that's going to say, Hotel Holy Ghost, you know. and Sean and Carl are going to live over here, and you know we're going to all have this, you know, penthouse number one, you know, whatever. But Jesus was talking a little bit more than that. Much more than that. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He was talking about a place, a preparation that only he could prepare for me and you. So we see he was preparing a place for me and you, not only of his eternal realm, but as a position right now. Remember, he gave the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wasn't speaking about later, he was speaking about now. There is a divine position for me and you right now. He has gone, he died, he rose to prepare a divine place for me and you right now. When Jesus was here, he not only walked in the natural realm, he walked in the spirit realm. He was in a divine position to walk in both places, wasn't he? Okay, let's go on a little bit further. So we see he tells him, he says in verse 3, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where was Jesus? Now look at, we must look at this as twofold, not just one-sided. Remember, the Lord's words are not just one time. His word is still continuous, isn't it? Amen. Now, he says, I go prepare a place for you and I will come again. So he's preparing a place for us of eternal realm, but he's also preparing a place for me and you in a position right now, which is known as a divine position. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. And verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And verse 6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. So Jesus was preparing the way. Now we know that the way, the word way, was a representation of, if you look, remember in the Old Testament, that there were the three chambers to the tabernacle. The first chamber was a representation of the outer courts known as the way. The second chamber was known as the holy place, known as the truth. And the third chamber was known as the most holy place, known as life. Now, we see here that this way, truth, and life. So a way is always leading to a truth. A truth is always leading to life. So as long as we continue to walk in the way, walk in the truth, it will always bring life on a constant. Everything is based on way, truth, and life. Everything. Everything is based on way, truth, and life. If people don't know the way, they certainly won't know the truth and they won't maintain life, will they? Everything is based. If Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and life, and he is the creator of all things, and nothing was created without him, but everything was created through him and in him, everything is based on the way, truth, and life. Everything. Every decision you make is a representation of either leading to life or death. Everything you do is either leading to life or death. You're either walking in the way of the truth, leading to life, or you're walking in deception, in the lie, leading to death. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we see Jesus was preparing a position for me and you. A divine position. An eternal position. A present state eternal position. Glory to God. Ooh. Okay, let's go a little further. Now, let's go to, okay, let's go to Revelations. Hallelujah. Revelations 1. Revelation 1. The book of Revelation in chapter 1. Divine position. And only Jesus can produce that divine position for me and you. Praise be to God. In Revelation 1 and chapter 1 and verse 18. Let's read this together. Chapter 1 and verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus speaks again in the book of Revelation. I am. He's a representation of I am the way, truth, and life again. He says, I am. In other words, I am the one who is, who was, and who will ever be. The way, truth, and life is a representation of past, present, and future. Is everybody with me? Past, present, and future. This Bible that is written, author of the Holy Spirit, is written as a past, a present, and a future.
Amen.
The way representation of the Old Testament, the truth representation of the Gospels, and the life representation from the book of Acts on. Does everybody get that? This whole Bible is a guide. It's a guideline, isn't it? It's a guideline of staying in the Spirit. The Old Testament is a representation of the way. Jesus, God known as Yahweh in the Old Testament, known as Jehovah and so forth. But when Moses went and said, what's your name? He says, I am. Jesus said, I have come. The Word became flesh, right? In the fullness of what? Truth and grace. So we see here that the Gospels are a representation of the truth. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out, wasn't it? Which is the beginning of the book of Acts. Life. Does everybody see this? So this Bible is a representation of the way, truth, and life. Like I said, everything is based on way, truth, and life. Every decision, everything you do, every act, everything that you do is based on way, truth, and life. You're either what you're doing, what your actions are, what your motives are, what your desires are, what you're speaking, what you're thinking, is either leading to life or to death. Jesus prepared a place for us, a divine position. A divine position. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. So we see Jesus was preparing a place for me and you to walk in the Spirit in a divine position. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 3. Oh, we need to read this together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Where has He blessed us? That means on the other side. Well, you got to get to the other side, don't you? Amen. If we're blessed in heavenly places on the other side, you and I must get into the other side. Does everybody get it? See, the devil don't want you to get in the Spirit. If he can prevent you from getting in the Spirit, he's got you snagged on this side. And you'll continue to rely on what you see, what you feel, and what you think. And it leads to death. Because the carnal mind leads to death. The carnal mind hates the things of God. That's why it must be renewed. Amen? So we see that in the Spirit are our blessings. In the Spirit is the things that we are placed in Christ Jesus. Jesus went and prepared a place for me and you. Go to Ephesians 2 while we're here. In verse 18. Let's read this together. For through Him, I'm sorry, is everybody there? Ephesians 2, verse 18. Sounded like I was the only one there. Is everybody still right?
Amen.
Okay. Are you ready now? Amen. Come on, it's only the next chapter. Glory. Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through Him we both have access by what? One Spirit. To the Father. So the Lord must place us in a spiritual position in the Spirit to the Father. Now listen. In verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I want you to understand this. This is very important. Not only did Jesus prepare a place for you in the Spirit, but He's preparing a place for you for Him. Is everybody with me? He's not only prepared a place for you to go in the Spirit, but He's prepared a place for us and a place for Him. Where? To dwell in us. Do you understand that? He's prepared a place for me and you in the Spirit, and He's prepared a place for Himself in me and you. Does everybody get it? So there's a double fold here, isn't there? Now look at verse 22 again. Read it again. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God. And it's, well, you're being prepared for a dwelling place of God. You are now the dwelling place of God. You are. So not only did God prepare a place for me and you in the Spirit, but He prepared a place for Himself in me and you. Hallelujah. And Matthew 11. Oh, praise you, Lord. In Matthew 11. Verse 28. Somebody there?
Amen.
This is Jesus speaking. Let's read this together. He says what? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what rest is? It's a place. That's a place. It's a divine place. The reason why people don't have rest is because they're not in divine position. Let's go further. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So he says what? Learn from me. Learn what? Learn of this place that I have for you and have prepared for you. It's a place of rest in a divine position in the Spirit. Learn from me.
Amen.
And verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This place is a place of total surrender and communion. Total surrender and communion. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I need to put this in English. Total surrender and communion, where nothing else matters no more. You're in a divine position where nothing bothers you. You're in a divine position no matter what people say. You know. You're in a divine position where you have communion with God. And you're not going to go by what you see, what you think, or what you hear. You're in a divine position. Amen? And Jesus made the way. He prepared that place for me and you. Because the way represents the blood and the cross. The truth represents that He descended to hell and destroyed the works of the enemy. And the life represents that He ascended to heaven and sent forth the Spirit of life that we could have life. The way, truth, and life. Glory to the Lamb. In Mark 10, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Mark chapter 10, is everybody with me?
Amen.
Divine position. Hallelujah. And verse 13. And Mark 10 and verse 13. Then they brought little children to Him, Jesus, that He might what? So you know what has to happen? We must become childlike for Him to touch us. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But Jesus saw it. He was greatly He was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, childlike. Jesus desires to touch us. Jesus desires to bring us into that position where there's communion and a constant touch of Him on our life. A child. So we must be childlike to be in this position. Does everybody understand it? That's one of the requirements. What is a child like? A child is what? All trusting. A child is quick to forgive. And a child is willing to learn. A child is all trusting. A child is quick to forgive and willing to learn. Do you ever notice that when, like children in the neighborhood, they get into a fight and they argue and then they bring the parents in. And the parents begin to, your kid did this and your kid did that. You know, the next day the two kids are made up playing and the parents are still angry with one another. You know, so you got to be childlike, you know. You got to be quick to forgive. You got to be all trusting. And you got to be willing to learn. That's one of the requirements, isn't it, for this divine position. And Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Glory. Oh, wait till we get to the meat of this. I'm telling you. Powerful. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the what?
Spirit.
And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So like I shared with you, the Bible is a guideline of walking in the Spirit. Be obedient to the Bible, you're walking in the Spirit. What does he say? Be childlike. Be all trusting. Forgive. Learn. When you're offended, forgive.
Amen.
Quickly.
Amen.
And verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So we have an old man that wishes to do things, doesn't it? We have an old nature and an old desire. See, it's not gone, is it? It's there. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's still there. It's not been removed. But we have dominion over it, don't we? Now, you and I are made up of three parts, a spirit, soul, and body. And the one thing that got out of position was the soul, because Jesus came to restore the soul. Does everybody understand that? What was lost in the garden? Soul. Amen. Which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Those things needed to be renewed. So, as long as you and I are walking in the Spirit, those things are under submission to the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit brings us into that divine position where Jesus, the way, truth, and life become tangible. Hold on now. Where Jesus, the way, truth, and life become tangible. We'll get there. Hold on. Understand something also. In the Spirit, there is no space or time. Okay. Are you getting it? Come on, let this sink in. In the Spirit, there is no space or time. Now, we talked about Jesus as the way, truth, and life, representation of past, present, and future. In the Spirit, He makes way, doesn't He? He makes way to heal your past. maintain you in the present, and prepare you for the future. Does everybody understand that? Let's go to 1 John 5. Glory to God. Put your Holy Ghost seatbelt on. And 1 John chapter 5. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, some of us need to hear this message tonight. Hallelujah. I know I did. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6. Glory. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus the Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is what?
Truth.
Oh, what an importance of fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that can bring you in the Spirit. You cannot live a Christian life in the outer courts. Hello?
Amen.
You must live a Christian life in the Holy of Holies. Let's go a little further. I feel the anointing in this house now. The master teacher is here. Glory. Who? For there are three that bear witness in heaven. There are three that bear witness where? In heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. They're one. So in the Spirit, hello? In the Spirit, you're one. You're not only seated in heavenly place, but you're one with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You're one. But the devil will try and prevent you from getting in the Spirit. He's always going to try and cause you to lean on the carnal, the natural, instead of the things in the Spirit. Now listen. It says in the Spirit is truth, right? Okay. And verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The what? Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So if you were to take a board, a chalkboard or something. And the first thing it says, and these three bear witness in heaven. The first one, if you were to start from top to bottom, would say what? The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And you would draw a line there, right? Right, like you were adding them up.
Amen.
And it says, these three bear witness on earth. And the first one is who? The Spirit. The water and the blood. Now check this out. What's the bottom one? The blood. What's the second one? The water. What's the third one? The Spirit. And then it enters the heavenly, doesn't it? So we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that is the only one that can bring you from the dimension of the natural to the dimension of the Spirit. Now, we just said that Jesus was the way, truth, and life. The way represented the what? Blood. Is everybody with me? The truth represented the, okay, who came, what became flesh? The Word. The Word is truth, isn't it? The water here is representation of the Word or the truth. Does everybody get it? And life is a representation of the Spirit. Does everybody understand this? So Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I am the way of position in the Spirit. For you. You must come through the blood, into the truth, into the life. That's going into the Holy of Holies. That's walking in the Spirit. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Do you want me to say this again? Okay. If you were to start from top to bottom, The first thing that you would write would be the Father. The second thing would be the Word. The third thing would be the Holy Spirit. You would draw a line there, like you're adding them up. That line is that dimensional line between the spirit realm and the natural realm. The next thing right underneath that line would be the Spirit. The next thing under that would be the water. The next thing under that would be the blood, representing Jesus, the way, truth, and life, to the Spirit position. Is everybody there? Okay. So you must... Is everybody with me? So you must walk the way in the truth to maintain the position of life, which is walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Spirit bears witness of the truth and the other side prepared for you and me. Glory. John 10. In John, in the book of John, chapter 10. So you know what happens when one of those come out of order? You get moved out of divine position. You get moved out of divine position. You lie, you get moved out of divine position. Does everybody understand that? Why? The devil wants to nail you. He's trying to cause you to walk in the flesh, which moves you out of divine position. Doesn't mean you can't get back in. Sure you can. And John 10. Oh, man. In verse 7. Everybody there? Let's read it together. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door." What door? The door to the spiritual, divine position. "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So how are you going to have life more abundantly without being in divine position? You won't. That's why there are many believers still walking on this earth who have been believers for 30 years. They still walk in poverty. They still walk in sickness. They still walk in deception because they're not walking in divine position. And it's only done by fellowship in the Holy Ghost. Is everybody with me? That's why Jesus said, "It's to your advantage I leave. Or else a comforter won't come. And who will guide you to all truth." Glory to God. Jesus is the door. Now listen, the door to this divine position, in this place, there is no lack. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. No looking back. And no worrying about your future. Or worrying about tomorrow. In this divine position. There's no lack, no looking back, and no worrying about tomorrow. "Yeah, but you just don't understand." No, you don't understand. You're not in divine position. Or you wouldn't be sinning of worry. You wouldn't be lacking. Hello? You just don't understand. But. That's the ministry of the devil, right? The but ministry, because he's the tail and we're the head. Hallelujah. Yow! Glory. Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Glory to God. I got notes all scribbled here, so you have to bear with me. I'm Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Let's read this together, please. Jesus is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That sounds like the way, truth, and life. That sounds like what He spoke yesterday is the same as today. That sounds like His promises are the same forever. That sounds like He hasn't changed yet.
Amen.
It's man that changes.
Amen.
It's man that changes. Hello?
Amen.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus is the same baptizer and filler of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the same. Jesus is the same way, truth, and life as He was then, is now. And when He spoke it then, He still is. And He forever will be. Nothing changed about Daddy. Remember, no man can come to Daddy except for through Daddy. Because it says that He's the everlasting Father, isn't it?
Amen.
Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. In other words, things that are natural. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by Him let us what? Continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks. So He said, He's sharing with us here about this divine position. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, representing way, truth, and life. In this place of the Spirit, Jesus repairs your past, establishes you in the present, and prepares you for the future. Does everybody understand that? That's why the Bible is a guideline of walking in the Spirit. If you can't obey it, that means you're not walking in the Spirit. And you can obey it by only having fellowship with the Spirit. Remember I shared before, this Word can't save you. Only if you obey it. You can know it and never obey it. Hello? So we see that it's a guideline of walking in the Spirit. And by walking in the Spirit, you're talking about submission, obedience, love. Submission, obedience, and love. Walking in the Spirit brings forth this new creation. See, if you're not walking in the Spirit, the new creation isn't being manifest, is it? That new creation, who? That new man. Go to Galatians 5. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. That's why Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Obviously, He said being born again, you must be born of water and Spirit. So being born again of the water wasn't enough. To be born again, you had to be born of the water and the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Because He's not in the flesh anymore, is He? He's our high priest in the Spirit. He's prepared a place for me and you to walk and have fellowship with Him in the Spirit. That's where He's waiting with me and you. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Good. And verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ... Now, wait a minute. In Christ. That doesn't mean, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? It means whether you're walking in Christ, in the Spirit. Because if you're not walking in Christ, the new creation isn't being manifest. Now listen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Why? Because Jesus, being the way, truth, and life, has repaired your past. He's established your present. And He's preparing your future. Old things have passed away. Then why do we always try and fix it? Why are we always running around trying to fix it? Because we're walking out of position. The Lord will bring it to you. The Lord will bring it to you. Well, I need to do this. I got to do that. If I don't do this, that, God. Let me tell you something. God will bring it to you. The reason why people go out and try and fix everything is because they're out of divine position and they're being led astray. In the Spirit, there is no space or time. Walking in the Spirit allows Jesus to prepare or repair your past. Maintain and establish your present and prepare you for the future. You don't have to worry. Just stay in divine position. Yeah, but I got bills to pay. Get in position. And your butts won't be causing you a stumbling block. Get in position. Ooh. Our new creation. All things have passed away, right? That's what it says. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Wow. Everything is new. Why? Because you're a new person. You're walking in that new divine nature and that new divine position. Glory to God. In Galatians 6, hallelujah. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 verse 7. Let's read this together, please. Is everybody there?
Amen.
What's the first three, four words? Do not be deceived. Well, you know why? Because it'll move you out of divine position.
Amen.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. You think the devil knows that too?
Yeah.
So you think the devil would like you to sow in disobedience?
Amen.
Think he'd like you to sow in the flesh? And verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap what?
Corruption.
Ah. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what?
Everlasting.
Sounds like that divine position. He who sows in the Spirit has fellowship with life. He who sows in the Spirit has fellowship with life. Does everybody understand that? Because you're in divine position. Divine position has fellowship with life. Having fellowship with life maintains life. And the Bible says that the Spirit is a life, Jesus is a life-giving Spirit. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit what?
Brings life.
So having fellowship in the Spirit has, or fellowship in the Spirit has fellowship with life. Having fellowship with life is giving you life. in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Glory to God. Ephesians 2. You know, I was ministering in the jail the other day and sharing some things about being in the Spirit and how important it is. And one guy says, "You mean you don't want us, we're not supposed to go out and make amends and everything?" And, you know, I said, "Listen, man, first thing you need to do is learn Christ and get in the Spirit. There is a time for everything. And some things God isn't asking you to do. In other words, I made amends when it was time. I didn't get saved and go out and make amends with everybody. I didn't tell everybody what I did. Does everybody understand that? When I hurt someone or offended someone or stole something from someone, the Lord didn't tell me to go out and make amends on every single one at that point. It comes before you. He says, take care of this now. Take care of this now. Same thing with jobs. Man, you can go around the mountain 16 times and finally you're going to finally get so frustrated and fed up and say, "Lord, I give up." And he says, "About time. Now get in position. I'll bring the job to you." Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where am I in Ephesians 2? Praise God. So remember, having fellowship with life brings divine favor, doesn't it? Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." And that's what the devil wants to bring us back to, walking according to the course of this world. He moves you out of divine position. "According to the prince of the power of the air." And who's that? Satan. "The spirit who now works in the sons of" what? Disobedience. See, if he can push you out, you've got no choice but to be disobedient. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature children of wrath, just as the others." So we see it brings us under judgment, doesn't it? Under nature of children of wrath. Judgment. Devil always trying to push us out of divine position to stop us from receiving blessing and replacing it with his garbage. Amen? Oh, to God be the glory. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Don't you think the devil wants to push us out of position so that the wrath of God comes on us? You know, and I've seen it happen. The Bible tells us in Timothy 4 that many will fall from the faith in the latter days, taking heed, listening to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I've seen it. I've seen men leave the discipleship house who got baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and began to listen to the devil and push them out. They left divine position. They usually end up in my class in jail. Again. And you know what happens? I've seen this one brother come out of this place. The devil pushed him so far out of divine position, he ended up back in jail in my class, to where he's actually renounced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they had to move him out of the Christian dorm. This guy got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he no longer wants to serve the Lord. He doesn't. I talked to the chaplain yesterday. He said they'd remove him. Blew my mind. He doesn't believe, he doesn't want to serve, nothing. So they removed him. You think he lost salvation? Amen, he did. He walked away from it. That's called, you know, he's got to the day he dies. You know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is unforgivable sin, isn't it? That's rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not that he might get reestablished by the time he dies. Hopefully he will. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, yeah. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now let me share something with you. Walking in the Spirit and in divine position, these fruits are manifest. Amen. These fruits are manifest. In other words, the way truth and life becomes tangible. I'm going to share with you. Why? These fruits become manifest. They're tangible, aren't they? They're right there. That's where you know whether you're in divine position or not, whether you're walking in the Spirit. If those things are not being tangible, you're out of position. Hello? Come on, go a little further. In verse 25. No, 4, 24. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, the desires of the world, its passions of the world, are no longer leading you. You have dominion over them. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The fruit of the Spirit. Now listen to this. Oh, man. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit are the reflection of the substance of faith. Is everybody with me? Walking in the Spirit brings a tangible evidence of fruit. Those fruits are a reflection of the substance of faith. Because we walk by what? Faith. And what is faith? Come on, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. What is faith? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 1. Is everybody with me? Is everybody all right? I know some of this is a little deep. Praise God, it's about time we went a little deeper. Let's read this together. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. Fruits are the evidence of things that weren't seen, were they? So the fruits of the Spirit, if you look at it, is a reflection of the substance of faith. Where the kingdom of God is manifest in your life. Does everybody get it? The fruits of the Spirit are a reflection of the substance of faith where the manifestation of the kingdom of God is happening in your life. In Romans 15. Romans 15. Hallelujah. You may have to listen to this tape, pray in the Holy Ghost for about an hour, and then listen to it. Romans 15. Glory! What are you hoping for? It's coming. It's there. It's already there. Stay in divine position. Just stay in divine position. It's going to come. Keep your little paws off of the carnal. Don't let the mind go out of divine position. Don't let the heart go out of divine position. Don't let the motives and desires and emotions go out of divine position. Keep them under submission to divine position. In Romans 15, in verse 16, somewhere around there. Did I say that? Wait a minute, I can't be in the right place. Romans 15, hallelujah. Romans 15, that was Romans 14. It is. I wrote down the wrong thing. It's Romans 14. Sorry. Hey, some things just don't change, you know? Romans 14 and verse 16. Let's read this, please. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Now, why would somebody's good be spoken of as evil? Amen. They're fruits. They're fruits. What may seem good in one person's eye is evil in another. Does everybody get it? Well, yeah, you know, in other words, they had good intentions, but it ended up being evil, huh? So you may have a good, you know, it's like I share with people, yeah, good, sometimes good deals aren't always the will of God. Good deals are not always the will of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, I got a storehouse of good deals. That's right, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just sitting there. Hallelujah. In verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not what? Eating and drinking, talking about the natural. But what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, look at it. If you don't have righteousness, if the righteousness of the Spirit of God is not manifesting, if the peace of God is not manifesting, if the joy of God is not manifesting in your life, you're out of divine position. Hello? And we must get in divine position. Glory to God. Now, let's go to Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Psalm 23. Glory. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Oh, we need to read this together. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, glory. You know what? If the Lord is truly your shepherd, the word want is a representation of lack. If Jesus is truly your shepherd, if you're truly in that position of divine position, you won't want. You won't lack. And you won't need. You'll have everything. And he's not talking about, he's not saying that he doesn't want you to pray something in. In other words, you won't pray your own prayers. You'll pray His prayers. What do you want me to pray, Lord? I want you to pray this in. Okay. See, your prayers are a representation of taking the things out of the spirit realm and bringing them into the natural realm. That's how God brings things into the natural realm. He knows what you need. Now you have a want and a desire that's of His, not of your own. You no longer just want this beautiful red Corvette. You want what He wants you to have. Not that the desire of something in the natural realm might not come. Of course it's going to come. The devil's always going to try and bring them to you. But you'll have dominion over them saying, no, I want what He wants, not what I want. Because it's no longer I that live, but He that lives within me. Or that girl that comes across a path. That girl that you've been looking for. That girl that you believe is the one. The one that you want, but it's not the one that God wants you to have. You know how many people I see fall out of position by a woman? It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Amen, brother. I'm telling you. It's phenomenal. Yes, they look good in the natural. In fact, the natural world would say, that's a good woman. But the eyes of the Lord say, she's deceived and she's out of divine position and she doesn't know me. It's like I share with the guys. If somebody's proclaiming to be a Christian, first of all, believers don't date, they court. Hello? They court. The only purpose that a believer gets together with a woman by courting is to find out if this one's going to be their wife or their husband. If it's not, they separate and they're friends. That's why people fall into fornication. That's why marriages are broke and so forth. Amen? So I have seen many, I've seen men being taken out of the discipleship house from their wife. And their wife begged them to come in. The problem is when the wife was found out that she had a controlling spirit, she wanted to take her husband out. Because see, one of the things is the husband has been so bad for so long that the wife had control. She didn't want to lose that position. Hello? So once she's found out, that demon's got to move him out. And if he isn't in divine position and stays in divine position, he'll listen to her instead of listening to the Lord. And they'll start all over again. And they'll lose peace, joy, and righteousness. The house will be in turmoil. There'll be division, arguing, yelling. Hallelujah. I ain't got to go no further. Hallelujah. So when we go through that door, the way, truth, and life, and we're in that divine position, Jesus is our Lord. He is our shepherd. And we won't want nothing except for what He wants. Our desire will be to bring glory to His name and expand His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Go to 2 Chronicles. Hold on. Come on, we got a little bit more and we're done. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We got to get this in. Glory. This is a matter of past, present, and future. Glory. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Second Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. You got a page number 308? In verse 1, and it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. In verse 4. So Judah gathered together, asked help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And God, of course, when you begin to seek the Lord, God sends one of His prophets, someone to speak the word of God. In verse 15. So He said, listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now everybody read this with me. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. What? Position. So who's got to position you? We do. Position yourselves in what? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now listen, go down to verse 20. What do we have to do? Position ourselves. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." What's another thing that brings you in position? It's worship.
Amen.
Worship. Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. God sets an ambush against your enemies in praise and worship. Why? Because in divine position you are hiding in the secret place of the Most High. Hello? And the shadow of the God of Almighty is overshadowing you. Now listen, so God destroyed their enemy, right? Now, verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Divine position brings blessings. Does everybody understand that? Let's go to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Let the battle belong to the Lord. So we see that there's so many benefits in divine positioning. The battle belongs to the Lord, doesn't it? Brings blessings, doesn't it? Allows your eyes to see the reward of the wicked.
Amen.
Brings it to you. Shows you favor. Oh man, we need divine position. Now we know that praise and worship brings us in divine position, doesn't it? In Psalm 101, "I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord, I will sing praise." Sounds like he's getting in position, right? Doesn't the Bible say, bring a song of deliverance when you're being attacked? Now listen, the first thing he says, "I will sing praises, I will, of your mercy and justice," right? And look at, these are the results of it. "I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a what? Perfect heart." See, divine position not only causes you to walk in a wise way, in a perfect way, but it establishes your heart. It renews your heart. Does everybody understand that? It says, he says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." You will have dominion over what the devil is trying to snare you in. What he causes you to look. "I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." And divine position, walking in the Spirit. Now the oil is a representation of the anointing, isn't it? Did you ever try and catch an oil pig? Me either, but I've seen it on TV. And it was real rough. The devil can't grab hold of you because you'll be oiled up. Hallelujah. It shall not cling to you. "A perverse heart shall depart from me." Do you hear it? "I will not know wickedness." No longer will you be submissive to wickedness. That's good enough for there. Glory to God. Let's go on. 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, praise God. You see the blessings of getting in divine position. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 6. Praise you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, man. Okay. in verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. The devil wants you to touch unclean things, which moves you out of position. That's what that psalm was just about, wasn't it? And I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me share something with you. To maintain divine position, you must reverence and have fear of God. Sometimes people lose reverence to the Lord. That's why they go back to doing the things they shouldn't. Lying, stealing, deceiving, so forth. Amen? No reverence to the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean. That brings us back under the rule of Satan, leading us to the three deaths. The three deaths. Now the word death is a representation of separation. But there are three deaths that manifest. The one is spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. But Jesus made way to rescue us from the separation by staying in the Spirit. Does everybody get that? Staying in the Spirit. Staying in the Spirit. Got to stay in the Spirit. Got to stay in that divine position. Now, Jesus knowing being the way, truth, and life is also a representation of justified, sanctified, and glorified. In Romans 5, you don't have to go there. Just write this down. 6 through 11. Romans 5. 6 through 11. We are justified by the blood of Jesus and faith, which is a representation of past. In other words, past sins. Does everybody understand that? We are justified by the blood of Jesus and faith of past sins. Jesus being the way, right? Okay. In Romans 15, verse 11, we are sanctified by the Spirit and the Word. Representation of present sins, separated. In 1 John 1, 9, and Revelation 12, 11, we are glorified by the confession of the testimony of Jesus Christ as we overcome with the blood of the Lamb. And that's a representation of future sin. Does everybody understand that? Because confession activates the blood, doesn't it? So we are justified by the blood and faith for past sins. We are sanctified by the Spirit and Word for present sin. And we are glorified by confession for future sin. Does everybody understand that? Which is maintaining me and you to stay in the divine position. Does everybody get that? That's why Jesus is the way, truth, and life. Ephesians 3, and let's close with this. Oh, there's so much more I could go on, but we're not going to. In Ephesians 3. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, and verse 14. Let's read this together. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man. Do you understand that?
Amen.
That keeps you in divine position, doesn't it? You need to be strengthened in your inner man. Through who? The Holy Ghost. That what? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Now listen, you can't understand the things of the Spirit unless you're in the Spirit. Hello. Verse 19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You can only be filled with the fullness of God being in divine position. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in me and you. Now wait a minute. In divine position, he's going to do exceedingly above all you could ever ask or think. That's why the devil don't want you to get in divine position. He don't want you to comprehend that. He doesn't want you to have life and life more abundantly. He doesn't want you to walk in truth, spirit, and in power. In verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we promise to give you all the glory. Lord, plead the blood of Jesus on these seeds. On these seeds. Lord, guide us. Guide us, Holy Spirit. And help us to be maintained in divine position that we may continue to bring glory to your name and expand your kingdom. And bring life, because your life-giving Spirit is in us. Let us bring life to someone else. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.